We're going to start in the book of Psalms, chapter 119 this evening. We're delighted to have each of you with us this evening on a Monday evening where you could be doing lots of different things, but you've chosen to end this day with us, and we're glad for that. And as Brother Bob prayed so well, we hope you've had a good day, and we hope as we end this day, above all things, we give the glory and the honor to God. It's good to see Mr. Bob. He's one of my friends, and I think so much about him. It's good to have him with us again tonight. Well, for some of you, this is the start of college. And if you're a freshman, first thing you realize is this isn't high school. It's a whole lot different than high school. But as we go through these things and look at these things, it reminds us how important it is as we go through different milestones of our lives and keep above all things that God is with us, and that's so important. Mrs. Meyer was a third grade teacher, and she wanted to impress upon her class how big the universe was. And so she gave them a homework assignment to go out that night in their backyard and count how many stars they could count. And so the next day, the class was gathered together, and she started calling on students, how many stars did you count? One kid counted 134. Someone else counted 315. The smartest kid said there's a million bazillion stars. One little boy didn't say anything. And Mrs. Meyer said, did you go out and count the stars? And he said, yes. Well, how many did you count? And he said, three. And she said, only three stars? And he said, I have a small backyard. Well, sometimes our concept of God can be small. And sometimes we get the idea that God is just kind of confined in a building or a box or a little thing and helps us to come together at the end of a day such as today and remind ourselves how powerful, how good, how holy God is. And that's what we're going to look at this evening. One of the most beautiful stretches of highway in America is called U.S. 1. It's called the Pacific Coast Highway. And it goes from Redwood National Park in California down to Dana Park in the south. And it hugs the California coast. On one side is beautiful ocean, the Pacific Ocean. On the other side is California. And the only thing that separates the two is a little piece of metal called a guardrail. And this evening we want to introduce our series of guardrails, and then each night we're going to be looking at different specific applications about guardrails. Most of us don't pay attention to guardrails, unless you hit one. I mean, we drive up and down, they're kind of ugly. You never see anyone putting one up in the front of their house and putting shrubs around them because they're not very pretty. You don't see anyone bring one in their home and say, you know what, this looks so beautiful inside our house. They're gray, they're ugly, they're dinged, they're dented, but they serve a purpose. You see, you don't see guardrails along flat stretches of the road. You find guardrails around the curves, around the hills, where cliffs are, and they serve a purpose. And the purpose is to keep an automobile from going over the edge. Without the guardrail, we could be in serious damage and serious danger if we thought about these things. And so the whole purpose of this is to keep you out of danger. And we understand, as we think about this concept of guardrails, that hitting the guardrail is going to damage your car. If you've ever done that, it scrapes your paint, it breaks your headlights, your airbags may come out, and it may cause you to say, you know what, I can't go on because I got to call the tow truck. But had that guardrail not been there, and you went off that bridge, you went over that hill, you went down that cliff, you may not be alive. And I believe when we look in our Bibles, we realize that God has guardrails. And God's guardrails do the same thing. They're placed in areas to keep us safe. And without them, we could damage our lives and damage our souls and ruin our relationship with Him. No one, as they drive along, you know, coming here, I have to cross Ohio River. I got to cross what's called the Kennedy Bridge. That's been a nemesis where I live because it's been closed half the time and you can't get across there. But no one who ever drives across the Kennedy Bridge, we may complain about how rough it is, how it needs to be painted again, but no one ever says, you know what, I wish they'd take the guardrails off this bridge. No one says that. Because we would be driving along with a hamburger in one hand, texting in the other hand, which we shouldn't do, but we do. And the next thing you know, we got one wheel off, two wheels off, and we're off into the river. And we need to see that when God gives us words, His words are meant to save our lives, and they need to help us. Let's begin now in Psalms 119, and let's begin with verse 1, and look at this. And this evening, we're going to look at several verses this evening as we think about our lesson and how important these things are. The psalmist says, beginning in Psalms 119, verse 1, "How blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the way of the Lord. How blessed are those who observe His testimonies, who seek Him with all their heart. They will do no unrighteousness. They walk in His ways. They have ordained your precepts that they should keep them diligently. Oh, that my ways would be established to keep your statutes. Then I should not be ashamed when I look upon all your commandments. I shall give thanks to you with uprightness of heart when I learn your righteous judgments. I shall keep your statutes. Do not forsake me utterly. How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word." And what we find when we look at this, and we see several verses this evening talk about this, we realize that God's word does restrict. Just like a guardrail. If I'm driving along and this is the guardrail, my car rubs against it, it's going to make a restriction. And we'll talk about what that means to us personally and what's involved with that. And God's guardrails do restrict us. But if they were not there, how we could ruin a marriage, how we could ruin our health, how we could ruin our finances, how we could ruin our attitudes, how we could ruin our souls with Him. And those are the things we're going to look at this evening as we consider some things the Bible teaches. And how many times there are moments in our life that we look back and we have regrets. For those of us that are older, maybe at our son or our daughter's high school graduation, the child is walking across the stage to get their diploma, and we remember when they were 5 years old, and we remember when they went off to kindergarten, and how fast it's gone by, and how we wish that maybe we spent more time with them, how we wish that maybe we gave more attention to their spiritual well-being, and we didn't do that. How many at retirement look back and say, you know what, I wish I'd saved more money when I was working so I'd have a bigger nest egg when I retired. How many at a divorce would say, you know what, I wish I didn't have that affair. I wish I wasn't so silly and dumb in what I did. How many of us look back and say, you know what, I wish I hadn't listened to my friends. I wish I didn't drink what they offered me or take that drug that they gave me. How it's messed up my life. Do you realize God's word is guardrails? They will protect us from a lot of the things we get into if we only heed what He says. Notice some expressions in the book of Proverbs, chapter 14, verse 15. "The simple believe anything, but the prudent give thought to their steps." Again, in the book of Proverbs, "Discretion will guard you, understanding will watch over you." And then we're going to use this week as a theme, Proverbs 27, verse 12. "The prudent see danger and take refuge, but the simple keep going and pay the penalty." What a great expression. What a great understanding to see there. That the prudent sees danger. The prudent sees God's warnings. The prudent pays attention. And as he drifts closer and closer to that guardrail, maybe even rubbing against it, he's going to pull back a little bit. But those who are not walking with God, those who are not wise, those who are not prudent, over the edge they go. And what trouble they get into when that happens. It is so interesting when we think about this concept, how God's word is designed to help us live the best. Deuteronomy chapter 6. "So the Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always." You see, God understands. God realizes the best life is a life that He has laid out for us. He understands when we follow His will, we become the best that we can be. Jesus Christ said He came to give life and to give it abundantly. Again, how important it is to see that wonderful concept as we live the way God wants us to live. But so oftentimes what happens is we ignore the guardrails, and closer to the edge we come. Faster and faster, we do not see the danger of materialism. We don't see the danger that lies ahead, a little flirting here, a little flirting there. We don't see the danger that could happen with a negative attitude. Faster and faster and closer to the edge until one day we've ruined things. And I don't know how many people I've heard say, "Man, I didn't see that coming." God did. He wrote about those things. Man, I wish I never started down that road. Well, God gave you warnings. If I only knew. And again, the prudent man sees danger and sees the value of such things. The reason why God gives us these restrictions, these commandments, these rules, is because He loves us. He wants the best from us. And so when we see this, that they're given to help us, it makes us understand how wonderful this is. It's interesting, we look at some verses that kind of talk about this. 2 John, the 8th verse says, watch yourselves. There again is that idea of the prudent man, and he's looking and he is observing. 1 Peter 5, verse 8, talks about Satan being a roaring lion. It begins by saying, be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Jesus was saying in Matthew 7, beware of the false prophets. Again in the book of Timothy, O Timothy, guard what's been entrusted to you. That idea of being observant and watching and looking for these things. It is interesting that our culture believes they have guardrails. They don't, but they think they do. You ever heard this one? Drink responsibly. You ever been to a professional football game? I went to one in my life. I told myself I wouldn't go back. My wife, when we lived in Kansas City, worked for a doctor, and he gave us preseason tickets to the Kansas City Chiefs and San Francisco 49ers. Third row. You could hear the guys grunt. I mean, it was close. About 2 minutes into the game, some guy from the nosebleed saw that there was an empty seat beside me, so he came on down. He already had a stack of beer cups. And that man was so drunk. When the beer man came by, when the Budweiser man came by, he got one. He hadn't even drunk that. When the Miller man came by, he says, I don't have one of those, so he got one of those. The man smelled like five things you don't want to look at. And that's what it was. And our culture says, drink responsibly. And what would do, what they would say is, well, when it gets to the fourth quarter, we're going to stop selling alcohol. For that man, it should have stopped before the game started. He didn't know whether he's at a football game or a baseball game. That's not a guardrail. That doesn't help us. Have you ever heard this guardrail? Don't have sex until you're ready. Well, that's a good one, isn't it? You can see a 16-year-old boy with a date with a 16-year-old girl. I'm ready. Are you ready? Okay. We're ready. Well, that's no guardrail at all. Or how about this one? The idea that parents talk to your kids about drugs. Can you see dad opening up the door? The kid's got the headphones on. He's kind of doing this. Dad knocks on his head and says, son, don't do drugs. Okay, dad. And off he goes. What do you think that really helps? Notice some things that God says. God says, for instance, watch who you hang out with. Evil companions corrupt good morals. He would tell Timothy the idea of flee youthfulness, but pursue righteousness with those who call upon the name of the Lord. That's a guardrail. And what God's trying to do is establish the importance of doing these things as God wants us to do. Now here's what we're talking about this evening. God's guardrails work when our conscience hits them. And when our conscience hits them, it produces guilt. And you know that feeling of guilt. You've done something wrong. And as a result of that feeling, as a result of that concept of feeling that way, it causes you to make a course correction. That's how guardrails work. You're driving down the highway, and you're not paying attention, and your car drifts, and you hit this. Do you keep going that way? No, you turn your car. A course correction. When we are walking with God and we run into one of His guardrails, what do? We make a course correction. And that's where our conscience and that's where guilt comes in together. And that's what helps us so much. Guilt is the feeling you have when you're wrong. And it's a good feeling because it makes you come back to the land that is right. We look at some examples, for instance, in Genesis chapter 3, after Adam and Eve had eaten the forbidden fruit, the Bible there says, then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loin coverings. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God from among the trees of the garden. They knew they hid. Why is it when we were small we would always hide? Why? Because we knew we were wrong, right? And that's what guilt will do. Guilt will cause that feeling. And when we think about this as biblically, what it does, it makes us come back to God. Look at another example in the book of Joshua. So Achan answered Joshua and said, truly I have sinned against the Lord, the God of Israel, and this is what I did. when I saw among the spoil a beautiful mantle of Shinar, 200 shekels of silver and a bar of gold 50 shekels in weight, then I coveted them and took them. Behold, they are concealed in the earth inside my tent. You see that? They're not just inside my tent. Probably he had a rug. And pulled the rug back, dug a little hole, stuck him in the ground, pulled this back, and he's outside his tent saying, boys, what's going on? Not much with me. Why is he hiding this? Why doesn't he take that gold and walk around and say, look what I got. What did you get? He knew it was wrong. He hit a guardrail. That's either going to make you go over the cliff or make you come back to God. That's what this does. And that's what makes it so powerful as we think about how God is trying to help us do what's right. We look at some New Testament examples in the book of Acts in chapter 2. Now, when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart. They were cut to the heart. What does that mean? They felt guilty. They realized they were wrong with God. We look again in the book of Acts chapter 5, verse 33. When they heard this, they were cut to the quick. Do you know what the quick is? You're clipping your fingernails. Or if you're a guy, you just bite them. And you get them too deep, and that just stings, and doesn't go away, and you're cut to the quick. That's what that means. It stung them. Why did it stung them? Because it created guilt within them. And that guilt will bring you to change. Again, as we think about this, this is how our conscience works. We've heard through the years, you should not let your conscience be your guide. That's not really true. You see, your conscience is like a watch. See, now, where I live, New Albany area, we're a different time than you are. Even as close as we are, we're a different time than you are. And so if I have my watch on right now, it's set to New Albany time, not the time here. And Mr. Bob here, he just came in from who knows where he came from. And if his watch is still set from who knows where he just came from, well, see, his watch may be good, but you know what? If it's not set to the right time, it doesn't help. And that's like our conscience. Your conscience, you need to listen to it. First, if it's working. Secondly, if it's set to God. If your conscience is not set to God, then it's not going to help you. And that's what we need to see and appreciate. When you violate your conscience, you feel like you've actually done wrong. And that's the concept God wants you to have, so you'll make those corrections and do what is right. If you got your Bible, turn with me, if you will, to the book of Romans in chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. The apostle here is talking about the concept of brethren who disagreed on the idea of eating meats. And he introduces us to an interesting word that we need to talk about right now. He says in Romans 14, the very last verse, verse 23, but he who doubts is condemned if he eats because he's not eating from faith. Whatever is not from faith is sin. The Bible uses the word faith in three different ways. Ephesians chapter 4, there is one Lord, one God, one faith. Another way the Bible talks about faith is what I believe. John 3, verse 16, God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in him, that's faith. But a third way the Bible uses faith is right here, and that's conscience. And so if I know something is wrong, I know stealing is wrong, but I don't have enough money for the CD, so I shoplift. So I'm sitting in taking a test. And I might as well be in a foreign language class because I have no idea what we're doing right now. And so I look up on someone else's paper and I write it down. I know that's wrong, but I do that. You see, with that feeling you get, that concept you get, that's the idea of hitting God's guardrail. And it's important that your conscience be governed by the Word of God. Now, we see examples of people in our Bible who live without God's guardrails. The book of 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. By means of hypocrisy of liars, seared in their own conscience. It didn't bother their conscience. Not at all. We look in Hebrews 3, verse 13. He says, encourage one another day after day, as long as it's still called today, so that none of you will become hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. You get to a point where it no longer bothers you. That's what happens when we ignore God's warnings and God's guardrails. Ephesians 4, verse 19, and they, having become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. I like this one. Jeremiah 6, verse 15. Were they ashamed because of the abomination they had done? They were not even ashamed at all. They did not know how to blush. We call that embarrassment. And you see, the more embarrassment you have, the reason is you have that is because you have a working conscience. And the reason why that is because you have the Word of God in me. The more God is in me, the more the Bible's in me, the more I'm going to have a conscience, the more I'm going to have an embarrassment factor. We go to the store and we see some of the covers of magazines. These people don't have any clothes on. How can they do that? Well, they're not embarrassed. Well, why are they not embarrassed? Because their conscience isn't working. Why is their conscience not working? Because they do not have the Word of God in them. Years ago, when we lived in Kansas City, when we first moved there, our house was real close to the neighbor behind us. She was an older lady and she just loved watching our property. And so we were there about 1 week before we got the blinds up. We got the blinds up real quickly after this. But she said one day, she said, you know, looking across my backyard, across your backyard, across the deck, across your dining room, through your kitchen, to your microwave, is that light green or blue? I thought, good night. Well, one day I was getting into the shower, literally. Okay, you understand my attire. I'm getting into the shower, okay? The phone rings. Everybody's gone. Kids are going to school. My wife's going to work. So I answer the phone, and it's her. And we had a trampoline. And Kansas City, it was always windy. And the cover was blowing, and she said, it's going to blow away. And she's all freaking out. Go out there and tie it down. So I just threw a robe on, nothing else, and I went out there to tie it down. Now, this is before I was smart. I'm smart now. I wasn't smart then. Because when I went back to go inside, the door was locked. And I had no keys hidden. And we didn't have one of those little garage gizmos. We didn't have one of those. So there was no way to get in. And I really didn't want to break a window because I was kind of cheap. So I said, well, she's an older lady. I'll just go over there. She probably has seen everything already, so I'm just going to go over there. Well, guess what? She was already gone. She was already gone. So our next door neighbors were a 20-something couple. And he was a plumber trying to become a Baptist missionary. He was off being doing plumbing work, and his young wife was there. So I knocked on the door with my robe. And I said, I need to use the phone. And she said, come in. And I said, no, I'd rather not. I'd rather not. And I called my wife. My wife's a nurse, and she was working at the hospital. I said, honey, you got to come home. She goes, I can't. I said, you don't understand. You have to come home right now. She said, why? Well, this girl's sitting right here. I said, I can't tell you. You have to come home right now. Call one of the elders. No, the elders cannot help me. You have to come home right now. There's some things elders cannot do. Okay? So while I'm waiting for my wife to come, this nice 20-year-old said, well, why don't you come inside and wait? I said, no, honey, I cannot do that. I'm real comfortable outside. Well, long story short, my embarrassment factor was flying off the chart. Okay? Now, why do I feel that way? Because I had a conscience. And I had a conscience because I have the Word of God in me. You see, when I don't have the Word of God in me, I don't have a conscience. And when I don't have a conscience, I don't have an embarrassment factor. This is why some people can say words that no human being should ever say. But they can say it and it doesn't bother them. Why? Because they don't have a conscience. Because they don't have the Word of God in them. That's why some people can do the most vile things. Why? Because they're not embarrassed. That's why some people can wear almost nothing. Why? Because they don't have a conscience. And all these things I'm trying to press upon you, God has guardrails. And these guardrails are there to protect us and to help us and to be what God wants us to be. And that's what we're trying to see as we think about our lesson here and some of these things. So when we think about the concept of guardrails, we need to see that as God has said, and as we look into some of these principles this coming week, living without guardrails is a life that's destined to crash. I don't know how many times I've heard this story. Well, we were just teasing at work. We were just doing a little flirting. And the next thing you know, they were in bed together. And one or two marriages came to an end. What happened? They didn't see a guardrail. I don't know how many times I've heard somebody say, well, you know what? I can handle my liquor. I can handle my liquor. And I believe the Bible allows a Christian to drink alcohol socially. I can handle it. And he couldn't handle it. And he came home and beat his kids. His wife left him. don't know how many times I've been to different places I shouldn't go to, like prisons. And not to try to convert somebody, but because members of God's kingdom are in there. They're locked up. They're doing things that have been wrong. And what happened is they ignored the guardrails. God has given us these things to protect us and to help us. And when we ignore these things, we go over the edge and it ruins everything that's sacred to us. Clueless to what lies ahead, we put ourselves, our families, the churches, and others in serious, serious danger. And that's why we need to see how valuable this is. Let's end this evening by going to the book of Ephesians in chapter 4. Tonight was just introduction. Tomorrow night, and then the rest of the week, Lord willing, we're going to talk about specifics. Tomorrow night, we're going to talk about guardrails around relationships. God has them. And then the next night, Lord willing, we're going to talk about guardrails around finances. I believe God has them there. Then we're going to talk about guardrails around attitudes. We all have one. And we need to see what God's guardrails are around our attitudes. And then we're going to wrap up by talking about God's guardrails around purity. Something very important to God. And He has guardrails around those. And in all these lessons, the central theme is God has told us these things to help us. He wants us to keep us from going over the edge, destroying what is right and good and sacred. And we need to recognize that. When we ignore it, when we start saying, I can handle it, I don't need to do this stuff, we've got one wheel off the edge right now, and we're about to go over. We need to see the value of that. Let's begin now in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. Here, the apostle, as he talks about the new life in Christ, he will say, therefore, laying aside falsehood, you know what that is? That's a guardrail. Quit lying. That's why he said, quit lying. Quit lying. And what happens is we've become masters of that. You know, we go to school and say, the dog ate my homework. Well, I didn't think you had a dog. Well, I guess we found one. And we just lie, and we lie, and we lie, and we lie. And we say this, quit. Just quit. No more lying. No more lying to your parents. No more lying to God. No more lying to your mate. No more lying. Speak the truth is what he's saying. And what that is a guardrail. If I can't be honest with the person I'm married to, if I can't be honest to my brother or sister in Christ, how in the world am I going to be honest to him? I've got to be honest. That's a guardrail, he says there. And so therefore, laying aside falsehood, he says, verse 25, speak truth, each one of you, with his neighbor, for we are all members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down your anger. Look at that. There's a guardrail. You see, we have fancy words for that today. Road rage. Okay? I'm one who has to watch that. Okay? I believe there's certain human beings who should never get a driver's license, but somehow they got them. And somehow they always follow me. I think there's little meters, Rogers on the road, so all these people come out and they get around me and they just drive me nuts. Even coming down here this evening, there's some lady who decided to drive about 20 miles an hour in the fast lane. I said, come on, use that long thing on the right down there on the floor to push it. But what happens is we can get all vented up. We can get all steamed up. We can get all angry. There's a guardrail. If I don't watch it, I'm going to say something I shouldn't say. I'm going to hit something I shouldn't hit. I'm going to do what God doesn't want me to do. That's a guardrail right there. Let's go on our Bible here. Let's read some more, as he says. Verse 28, he who steals must steal no longer. Why? There's a guardrail. God wants us to be honest, he says, performing with his own hands what is good so that he will have something to share with the one who is in need. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth. There's a guardrail. Now, sometimes we just say we're sharing news. I'm not gossiping. We're just sharing news. I don't worry. I'm just concerned. See, we have polite ways of getting around that guardrail. But God said, let nothing unwholesome come from your mouth. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit, verse 30 says. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Those are guardrails, each one of those. Be kind to one another, verse 32. Tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has also forgiven you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, chapter 5 begins. And walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. But let immorality... there's a guardrail. Impurity, greed, must not even be named among you as is proper among the saints. I do not know a congregation in America that we can say we've never had that problem in our church history. We do. Why? Because someone's not looking at the guardrails. Someone's going over the cliff. Someone says, I can drive it faster than what it says. Someone says, you know what? I don't need a guardrail. I'm going to handle life myself. And off they go. And they ignore exactly what God is trying to teach us. And so we see from this to be careful how you walk. We see from this, understand the will of God. And we see from this to be filled with the Spirit, to be filled with God and His goodness, and to understand how valuable these things are. All of these will help us as we think about the concept of living as God wants us to live. And so that's our beginning. That's where we're going to start. And then as we go onward, we're going to talk about some more things here in just a few next few days as we talk about these things. But I want you to notice how important these are. And we need to be thankful. Have you ever thought, Where would I be today if it wasn't for Jesus? Have you ever thought about that? If your mom and dad maybe hadn't brought you up in the nurture of the Lord, if you hadn't been taught the Word of God, where would you be today? I wonder how many of us would be on our third or fourth marriages by now. I wonder how many of us would be in some attic reform place because we're addicted to something. I wonder how many of us would be in jail right now. I wonder how many of us would be dead right now had it not been for Jesus and taken seriously the things that He said. And that's why when we come together at times like this, it reminds us that this is serious stuff. This is no laughing matter. How many times we could put names to people who have wrecked their lives, ruined their marriages, hurt their families because they simply ignored what the Bible said. We need to see how important the guardrails are. The story is told that when Andy Jackson was president, that he and a group of soldiers or a group of counselors was with him, and they're getting ready to cross the Potomac River one evening. It had been a very, very hard rainstorm, and the river was flowing very fast, and it's kind of dangerous. There was a guy standing there, and he didn't have a horse, and it was too dangerous to swim, so he was going to hitchhike on the back of a horse. And so he got on the back of President Jackson's horse, and across the river they all went. They got to the other side, and they all kind of got off, made sure everyone's okay, and kind of caught their breath. And one of the men asked him, and said, well, you know, of all of us, how come you picked the president to ride with? The man said, how do you know that was the president? He said, I looked at that river and how dangerous it was, and I looked at all of your faces, and every one of your faces said no, but his face said yes. That's why I chose him. And when you're around people tomorrow, what does your face say? Does it say, yes, I'm glad we have this. Yes, I'm glad I have a Savior. Yes, I'm glad I'm going some other place than this. I'm going to heaven. Yes, I don't have to live in the mud. I can live like Jesus wants me to. Yes, I can be holy. Yes, I can be righteous. Yes, I can please God. What does your face say? It says it when we walk by faith. See, if you're not a Christian, you need to become one. Begins by giving your heart to God. Realizing our way is driving about 90 miles an hour over a bridge with no guardrails. Sooner or later, we're going over the edge. Sooner or later. It happens to every person. Walking with God means I'm going to pay attention to this. When God says look, I'm going to look. When God says slow down, I'm going to slow down. When God says be careful, I'm going to be careful. When God says don't hang out with this kind of person, I'm not going to hang out with this kind of person. When God says do this, do this. And when God says be here, I'm going to be there. Why? Because God knows. His guardrails work. They do. And if you're one who's gone over the edge, you know what a wreck that is. Years ago when I preached in Indianapolis, we had a 16-year-old boy. His dad had bought him for his driver's license a hot, bright yellow Dodge. It was smoking hot. And every Sunday he'd go out and he'd high-five. He'd say, see you, preacher. See you, preacher. But one Sunday he went out, see you, preacher. By 2:30 his parents called me. I met him at the hospital. They pulled back the sheet over his head. He'd crashed that hot yellow car, flew out the window, and the car rolled over him, and he died. Just like that. Those of you who are starting college, God doesn't promise you you're going to finish college. Those of you in high school, God doesn't promise you're going to get to go to college. Those of us that are raising kids, God doesn't promise we're going to live long enough to see those kids raised. God gives us today. Today. What am I going to do with God today? And that's what we have to think about. If you're subject, won't you come as we stand and sing?